Let it come to the Sunday morning gospel hour. We're broadcasting live at the pavilion this morning on WNMB 900 AM down at OD. The Reverend Beaver Greenway is going to bring you the message for the day. I hope you'll all enjoy it. Hope you'll all keep your radio tuned right here. This is the first live broadcast we've done, and I hope it's many more to come. So if you will, welcome the Reverend Beaver Greenway.
There we go. You and I need that. All right. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for the radio friends who are listening in. Come down and be with us if you can. You still have some time. If you don't have a church home, make this yours. If you're a tourist, stop by. We'll whistle a little this morning because I got new teeth. Okay. The Wise family paid a surprise visit, it says, and went to the door, and little Bradley was sitting on the doormat, knocking on the door, saying, Ann Greenway. So she got to see him. I wasn't home, so I didn't get to. So they're doing fine. Frankie got new braces, and he's doing good. He'll be there for 3 years, and bless his little heart. Bradley's got a tooth problem coming in. They had two as many problems. Pray for him. And pray for Linda. Linda's not doing well at all. She called last night, and her cancer is very aggressive, and she needs your help. Comfort her. Call her. Go by. And I think she needs some oxygen. Is that what she needs? Somebody said she needs the oxygen tank.
Got it.
You got it? Okay. Y'all take care of that, I'm sure. And we're glad you're here. Fred Collins, my good friend, for 50 years, sitting back here. He's the one who got me my teeth, so give him a big hand. Said I look 20 years younger. If I get a whole tank of gas, that's it for you. Yeah, Peggy Porter is not doing well at all either. I don't know that Peggy will make it through the week. She's very, 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 very ill, and so be praying for her. And we've got so many people who are sick, and we'll just take care of things as we can. If you brought a Bible, turn to Genesis this morning. It's not hard to find from the front. It's difficult from the back. The last few verses starting at 22:50. 50:22 is where we will begin. Thank you if you're here for the first time. Those of you are here for Hall of Fame. We thank those folks. They paid Linda's rent for 6 months, and we thank them for that. Yeah, we appreciate that. And so, if you're here for the first time, anybody here for the first time? Glad to have you. Thank you for coming. That's good. Lady from California here. We met her. Others. That's good. Thank you for coming. We appreciate that. Come again. We'll be here all winter for us. We know we lift the sides down, call it the Vinyl Cathedral, and go right on. And we just have a good time. So if you brought your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 50, and we'll start at 22 after we pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet in the name of Jesus by the seaside, and that we can come to worship you in song and praise and in what we do in preaching the Word of God. There'll be those here, Lord, who haven't heard it clearly before or haven't taken time to. And we pray that today will be the day that they will seriously take the time to hear what we say, because time is short. We believe your coming is soon. We believe it's going to be over soon. But for us of my age and older, it's the last days regardless. And we ask that things be done here today in your name, that will see lives changed. Remove me from this place, if you would, and have yourself heard, that anything I say that should be forgotten, please have it be. All that should be remembered, please make it be. And Lord Jesus, please save the person who is nearest hell. In Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. We'll begin to read Genesis at chapter 2 and at verse 22, chapter 50. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, meaning all the people of the family. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And that land is still theirs, by the way. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. This is the only time the word coffin appears in the Bible, and the meaning is hope chest. Coffin is bad news for those who are lost, but for those who know God, it's a hope chest, is what it is, and that's kind of good, isn't it? And we read this because most of you know the story of Joseph. You knew it from a child, Sunday school, the coat of many colors, how at 17 he was sold into slavery. He was, this is a success story. Joseph is one of the greatest success stories of the Bible. He started below ground. Most people start at least level with everybody else. But he started below ground. He was in a pit when they got to him. And they sold him, and he went on to be vice regent, assistant king of Egypt. You don't go any higher than that. If they could have given him the land, they would have done it so. And he went in and turned Egypt around. They had run through several periods of hardship, and they were hungry, and they were having droughts and famines, and it was terrible. And it was Joseph who turned that country around. He saved the country. And it's quite a story to go back and read of him, but it's not that we're speaking of this morning. That's just to introduce him. And we don't have time to tell of the great things that Joseph did on behalf of God. But if you look across the page at Exodus, you'll find a most amazing thing in chapter 1 of Exodus. Now these are the children of Israel, and it names them. And verse 6 says, And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and became exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now this is your verse. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, who knew not Joseph. And I read that and thought about it over the years, and I said, how in the world can there be a man of such greatness who came to this country as a slave, as a kid, and rose up through the ranks and did his work so proficiently that he actually became assistant king, co-king, as it were, of Egypt, and he wasn't even from there. And then just in a few years, a king comes to Egypt who doesn't even know who he is. And it's amazing the forgetfulness of people, places, and things. And we have a world today that is so fast, we tend to forget even faster. I think about the poor folks down in Florida. Sun shining up here, no hurricane warnings, not even any rain, and we're looking good. And we've forgotten they're going to be 2 to 3 years of getting over what happened to them just a month ago. And we kind of put that out of our mind, and we have a way of doing this. It happened to Joseph. If you remember his history when he was in prison, and he talked to the baker and got in good with the baker and saved his life. They were going to kill him. And he saved the baker's life and said, now just remember me when you go before Pharaoh and get me out of jail too. I'm saving your life. I'm getting you out of here by doing what I'm doing, interpreting this dream. And, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And he got there, and then he mentioned him. He forgot him. He was forgotten again by his brothers. Took him and put him in a pit. Sold his self to slave owners. And they walked off and just forgot about him. Lied to the father about it. And then he was forgotten by the king. Here, we don't even know this king's name. There just arose a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. And we wonder through the way our minds work, it's pretty easy to put things out of mind. And I was, I get not nervous, but I get all choked up this time of year with a shag attack, and the Hall of Fame comes down, and those of us who started all this stuff for a street on the corner 50 years ago, we see those people who we met then as teenagers. And I was with someone the other night, and I said, I wish you had a camera that we could take a picture where we were. I said, we could look at it. This was 5 years ago. It was 10 years ago. It was 15 years ago, and it was 50 years ago. Some of them standing in the same place. And the sadness of it is a lot are real friends that you've known through the years and learned to love. And you know about their families and their kids and what happened. I mean, it's just a big family type thing. And you see them standing there doing what they were doing years ago and don't know any more about God now than they did then. And you invite them to come to church, and everybody's got an excuse. Got to get back to Greensboro, you know. And everybody's got a story, which just simply says, I'm not interested. I finally had one that's trying to get so badly. His wife wanted me to come to talk with him. And I said, can you come spend a week with us? I said, no, I can't spend a week with anybody. And bring him to church. Well, he's got to play golf Sunday. I said, well, if that's his level of interest, he'll have to go to hell.
Yes, that's
right. They say, you're rather blonde, aren't you? I said, rather. Yes, rather. They think we're rather blonde about you. Ridiculous, coming down here for Sunday and being at church. They talk about you, you see. And you hate to write somebody off, but I looked the man in the eyes and said, son, you only missed this train one time. It doesn't come around again. And you die and miss this train, you are gone. Understand that. You're gone. Please listen to me. And there's just so many, hundreds that I know, that you'd like to look head on and tell them the same thing. But they've forgotten God. It isn't that they hadn't been to Sunday school. We live in the Bible Belt. Fred and I were brought up in the buckle of the Bible Belt, Greenville, South Carolina. We've heard. Somebody drug you to Sunday school when you were a kid. Grandma talked to you about it. You had an uncle that was a crazy preacher, you thought. And you heard. And then you grew up, supposedly, through high school and college or whatever, and got married and somehow forgot God. And isn't it something that you can forget God? And the Bible has great things to say, a great deal to say about nations that forget God. And for those of us who study this book, we are getting a little bit nervous because this country is well on the way to doing that. Who would have thought we could forget World War II? Those of you who are my age and of that era, I mean, we were brought up hating Hitler, weren't we? I remember walking down Main Street of Greenville, King Off's Jewelers. Fred, do you remember where that is? And they had pin cushions of Adolf turned, and you put pin cushions in his rear ends. And I remember that as a young fella. Never did forget that. Anything to say how bad it was. Anything to say how bad that was. And then all of a sudden I grew up and kinda and reached this age, and they have to vote to build a World War II memorial, whether they're gonna do it or not. I mean, what happened? You forgot the Second World War? And I remember the Korean conflict and new people who were a little bit older than I who went and didn't come home. And rarely do I hear Korea mentioned, other than they're trying to make friends with them. And I'm saying, wait a minute, these are the people who killed my friends. And then Vietnam came, and I got good friends who were driven out of their mind by having to go there. And are crazy as loons today because of what went on there, and they had to be there. And you don't hear that mentioned much anymore during the political season we're having. It's being brought up from time to time, and you know, you don't hear it. And do you know they've about forgotten 9/11 already? You don't hear much about that anymore, do you? Cold-blooded murder of 3,000 Americans in our greatest city, and they've almost forgotten about it? Well, let's talk to them. Maybe they'll straighten up. How old are you, 11? And we forget these things and put them out of our mind like it never happened. But to forget God? Do you know it was 25 years ago we went to the moon? I remember the first time they landed on the moon, and we all gathered around TV sets, I'm sure you did, and watched it. And I remember the second time they went to the moon. I was in Chicago at Earl Nightingale's office. And somebody said, they're landing on the moon over here. And all of us looked and said, great. And went on with what we were doing. I mean, we already did that. Been to the moon. No big deal. Just forget about that. The computer came and it surprised me, didn't you? And do you know, to me, it's kind of like it just got here. And I know it's been 25, 30 years getting here. And I know now that the children rising up don't even know what life is without one. You really give your age when you say, I think he went on a jet plane. Because we remembered when they had props. And we called the new ones the jet planes. And you give your age away now saying, yeah, I think he's on a jet plane in California. Well, what else would he ride in? That's all they got. But we forget, see? And then we say, who invented the computer? Isn't it strange? Nobody knows. Who invented the World Wide Web? Who owns it? Who controls it? Did you know the control of that thing is going to rule the world? And we forget that all this was told us in this book years ago. And we look at it as if it's a surprise. It's not a surprise. The European common market moves so quickly and rapidly. It's going to be the worldwide government that the Antichrist shall run. And all of these computers and all of these websites and all of these things that you see have now come to a point where it's right at you can turn it over to one man. And we forget that. I'm still trying to work out that ballpoint thing. We forget that. And we find that now there's a computer being made right now in America that will do 50 trillion calculations a second. You can't even say 50 trillion calculations in a second. The only reason it doesn't go faster is the doohickeys inside melt. They go so fast. And in the end, I just remember, and you'll remember little Bible phrases you've read as a child and as a young man and as an old one. In the end, knowledge shall be increased. Increased. You can sit a kid before a computer right now for a year, and he'll come out with a better college education than I ever had time to get. 1 year. It's amazing the amount of information that's swirling around, and yet it all goes right back to this. It all goes right back to tell us what God said, not to forget Him. We were told how to keep the kids, those being us, being brought up. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, Israelites were told how to do this. It would have been so simple. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between those eyes. That's interesting. Of the Jewish people today, even. I had a Jewish friend who came to services with us several times a year or two ago. And I went to eat dinner with him at the Jewish restaurant downtown. And there was a rabbi there ministering to a man. And the rabbi had a little box, a little leather box. And he was binding it to his arm because in it were the scriptures. And that's what they would do. They'd carry them with them. They'd put them right here between their eyes. They weren't kidding. It was a little box on the headband. You carried them with you. They put them on the signpost by their house. They talked about it at dinner. They talked about it at night. They talked about the Lord God Almighty all day. You see, now it's a surprise subject if somebody brings God up. And if you can say Jesus, you can clear a room. It's a surprise now. But he said, don't do that. He said, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people who are round about you. And this is exactly what happened. The whole story of the Old Testament is God picking the Jews up after they fall. They rebel and he calls them back. They rebel and he calls them back. Rebel and he calls them back. So then he went to the Gentiles and we started doing it. And how can in a land where we live and we all live pretty good, 2/3 of the people in the United States of America own their own home. Can you imagine a country of that wealth? It's not, will I drive a car? It's, which one will I drive today? It's not a matter of, will I eat? It's, what will I eat and where and how much? And surely it'll be too much again. And we don't worry about wearing one set of clothes and having to clean them. We have closets full. And we are living off the bounty of work that people in the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam, the wars we forgot, those people gave their lives that we could live like we live. And still we forget. And God puts us in a position of today where any man can do well in our country today if he's willing to work and be wealthy in the eyes of the world. If you woke up in America this morning with a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and a couple of dollars in your pocket, you're in the top 5% of the world. How can a country blessed like this one forget God? How in the world can they turn to a point where they want to put him out of the classrooms, off television, off the radio? Now there's a proposal up that no group of one people espousing any philosophy can have a group of over three meeting together. That's to do away with the churches. How in the world can a country so blessed by God forgive him? I don't understand that. And I look at my friends I was talking about and said, surely you've heard. Surely he's not a secret. Surely you've been to some church. Surely you've seen Billy Graham sometime or another. Surely somebody's talked to you. And strangely enough, in a lot of cases, they haven't. And you would be amazed at the lack of knowledge of God himself in America. People don't talk about him. People don't discuss the scriptures. They want to come to church once maybe and to try to get people to come twice. By the way, I preach at another little church Sunday night across from Treasure Island, and it's 6 o'clock, 48th Avenue, Myrtle Beach, downtown. If you get a chance to be there, they're trying to build a congregation. I'm trying to help them. And it won't hurt you to come twice. It won't hurt you. Mm-hmm. You figure I'm too tired. I figure you're too far behind. Get on down there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Never went to church anywhere that I didn't feel better for it. And I never went to church at any time that I didn't learn something. And I never went to church at any time that something in that sermon, no matter how bad the sermon was, wasn't for me. You see, when you go to find God, he'll come find you. And you'll learn more about him. If you don't, you'll end up like these people. You'll forget God. I'm so glad he doesn't forget us. And Psalm 103 says, the Lord is merciful. He's gracious and slow to anger. Isn't that good? And plenteous in mercy. He'll not always chide, and neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dwelt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad of that? For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. That's reverential fear. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're dust. Aren't you glad God doesn't forget?
Amen.
If God has anything wrong with him, which is an oxymoron, he can't. He couldn't be God. But the only way we can express it is to say if God has one fault, it's a good one. He's got a bad memory. If you come to him and ask for forgiveness of sins. I remember the kids at Tabernacle Baptist Church used to sing, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Beautiful song that... That's the story of it. Man going to the Lord Jesus when he gets to heaven, keeps trying to apologize for his life. He's already there. He's made it. But he says, please, you know, just what I used to do. And the Lord looks at him and says, I have no idea what you're talking about. What do you mean? I don't remember them anymore. And if forgetfulness has ever been good, boy, that's the forgetfulness I want. You don't have to run your history, and I don't have to run mine. Aren't we glad of that? Aren't you glad the thoughts from last week aren't put up here on the screen above my head? Aren't you glad mine aren't? And then he said, I'll forget it. I'll wash it away. I'll let it all go. I will pay for it. Well, can I do something? No, you can't do anything. Well, are some rituals I can go through? No. Can I pay money? No. Can I work for you? No. What can I do? You can't do anything. You are helpless. You are lost. You're no good. You're rotten, and you're going to hell. What makes you think you can help me?
You're rather blonde, aren't you?
Yes. But I'll take care of it. And I'll forget everything you ever did and everything you ever thought if you just come to me. And I wonder, how can anybody turn down an offer like that? I often use, as far as the East is from the West, in wedding ceremonies out here. And I'll tell the young people getting married that God said that I will take your sins, your transgressions, and put them as far as the East is from the West. And as a young man, I said, well, that's not very far, because the East and West separates out there around Texas somewhere, and it's just a line in the dirt. That's not much of a deal, is it? But he looks at things from a heavenly viewpoint. He said, no, dunce. When you go north, you'll finally come to the North Pole. And any direction you step, you're going south. And once you go south, you can go south as far as you want to, and you'll hit the South Pole eventually. And any step you take will go north. But you can go east as far as you want to on that beach and walk till your feet drop off. And you'll never take a step west. And you can go west till you die in the other direction, and we'll never go east. That's how far the East is from the West, and that's how far He removed my sins from His presence. I said, boy, that's good news. And He did that, and we'll do that for you. And how can you sit there? Those of you who have no Savior. Those of you who have no God. How can you sit there, knowing your background, knowing others sitting around you know it because they did the same thing? You're not fooling anybody here. How can you sit there and understand somebody's willing to forgive you for all of that and adopt you as a child forever, and you can't be bothered? I don't understand that. I'd come closer to understanding somebody forgetting the Second World War or Vietnam or Korea. I'd come closer to that. But how could you forget that a Savior came from heaven, made Himself into a man? If that's not lowering yourself enough, lowered Himself, the Bible says, below the angels. Think about that. He created them and then had to make Himself lower than them to be a man. You see, we thought we were really something. We were nothing. And that was the biggest argument probably held in heaven. I got to be one of them. To get it done, you do. Okay, I'll do it. So He becomes a man. Those of you who've seen The Passion of the Christ, that didn't tell half the story. It wasn't a story of beating and nails. It was a story of a sinless God, a holy, righteous, and just being having to come and put on the flesh of man. Someone who had never been separated from the presence of His eternal Father. And because of my sin and yours, for the first time, He had to bear separation from the Trinity. That's where the pain was. That's where the price was paid. That's where the tears flow. And when you look at that cross and see Him, to know that He did that for you, how do you reach a point where you forget that? I was in Miami, Florida years ago, and driving down the freeway, and happened to look over to church. It's a Catholic church, and they had a crucifix on the side of the building. And the people of the good church there had put a sign under it on the church. Is it nothing to you who pass by? Which is a verse of scripture. And I read that thing and thought about it, and they thought about it for years. Just think of the people who passed the churches, who passed the crosses, see you gather on Sunday. Is it nothing to you who pass by? The greatest event that ever took place in the history of humanity is nothing. Have you forgotten so easily that God came to help you, to save you, to keep you from going to hell? Have you forgotten so easily that had I been the only one who had ever sinned, he'd have still come? He'd have still died? He'd have still taken that punishment and separation? And still risen again, just for me. You see, we've forgotten when God says, I love you, it's not like you tell the person down the street, I love you, or your dog. When he says, I love you, he means I'll love you to the point. I will pay for your sin. I'll separate from my Father. I will bear the punishment, the full punishment of hell on your behalf if you'll but trust me. All I ask you to do is to trust me. How can you not do that? Maybe in my simple thinking it's too easy, but if you offer to let me out of jail, you won't have to say it twice. I'll just come right on out. If I die and you say, would you like to resurrect? Don't wait for an answer long. It'll be coming quickly. Would you like to be forgiven? Well, I'll have to think about that one. What kind of idiot are you? And you got to get down on the level where you think like that, you see. I mean, I've insulted God by sinning against God. I have insulted God. I've slapped him in the face. I've pulled out his beard. I've spit on him, and I've nailed him to a cross. And I don't need forgiveness. Do you not understand the word guilt? Well, I didn't do anything. Yeah, you did. You put him there. I see these different books, Who Killed Jesus? I know very well who killed him. It's me. And it was you. Well, what can we do about it? We can't do anything about it. He again has to do it. And he said, I'll forget it. I'm slow to anger. Boy, you got to be slow to anger when somebody's driving nails in your hand. You got to be slow to anger when somebody's beating your back off. You got to be slow to anger when people say, I love you, and then Monday they're right back where they were Saturday. You got to be slow to anger when over and over and over and over somebody says, I'm going to change. And he says, yeah, I see you changing. Trouble is, you trying to change. It's like a two-year-old trying to dress himself. It ain't going to happen. He has to change it. You see, it's what we don't like to do. You got to give up. You've got to say, I surrender. I'm guilty. I did this. I want to be forgiven for this. Please, God Almighty, please forgive me. And until you come to that point, your little old isn't God good routine ain't going to happen, ain't going to work. The only one thing going to last forever anyway. Matthew 24:25-35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Isn't that something for a carpenter to say 2,000 years ago? That's what you call a carpenter with a big ego. You rabbis gather up. Now, I know you've been studying the law, and I know how intelligent you are, but while you're here in the shop, try out one of my new chairs over there. And by the way, the whole world's going to pass away. The temple's going to go. Civilizations are going to come and go. Only things that are going to last are my words. And they're singing. Did you hear what he said? The only thing that's going to last are his words. Where'd you go to school, boy? Well, I didn't go. Where'd you go to seminary? I hadn't been. You a rabbi? You no. What denomination are you? You Jewish. Well, who do you think you are? Because I know who I am. I am the great I am.
Amen.
I was before was. I'll be after be is true. I am the eternal Lord God Almighty. Who are you? How can you forget that? How can you forget who he is? How can you forget that he said, look, come unto me all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I get calls from drunks, addicts, people getting divorced. I got a call, guy said, Beaver, yeah, what you doing? Said, talking on the phone at 2 in the morning. What are you doing? He said, well, I got a 38 in one hand and a 45 in the other. Give me a reason to live. I said, well, there's a phone call for you. What do you say? Gonna kill yourself. Let me listen to it. You don't have to do that. I know somebody loves you. You don't have to do that. And he starts telling me his past. I know your past. I don't need to hear that. It doesn't matter. We can make all of that go away instantly. Listen to me. We can make all of that disappear instantly. And he listened. And the gun didn't go off. And I get this all the time. And I say, don't people read this book? Do you have to wait till you have a gun to your head to find out what he said? Wouldn't it be easier to go ahead and come to church here and then come tonight and come to Bible study Monday? And wouldn't it be better to find out what his words are that aren't going to pass away? So you can rest at night instead of worry. I promise you, when you wake up in the morning, it is much better to say, good morning, Lord, instead of good Lord, it's morning. And I've got to fight it one more time. When somebody calls you and said, I'm dying, and I might not make it through the week, but I'm going home. And I sure love you. Can you come see me? Yeah, I'll be there. Little Peggy Porter, 70 pounds. Came to Bible study Monday night. Had to bring her. She probably won't make another one. There she stood. Gave me a big hug. Said, I've missed you. I've missed you too, baby. She said, I love you. And I said, I love you too, honey. 70 pounds. Knows where she's going. Couldn't be happier about it. Because she said, my words shall not pass away. I know what his words are. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. It's so sad that Ronald Reagan, before he left office, got exasperated with the news reporters, which is easy to do. And he shook that head like he would do in his wisdom, and he said, I just don't understand. When there is one book with so many answers to the world's problems, why they won't read it? And I'm glad to help in any situation that comes up here. That's what I do. But why don't you just learn what his words are and quit worrying about it? You can hold a bottle of vodka up to the sunshine and see there ain't nothing in there. You don't have to drink it to find out. Ain't nothing in there when you look at it. What'd you think was in there? Now that I'm jumping on your case, dunce, it said it was spirits on the bottle. So you thought a good idea would be to put them in you. Maybe it's me that's stupid. Maybe not. So we'll leave that and go on to something else. We'll stick something up our nose. That ought to work. Yeah, that'll work. Well, we'll shoot something in my arm. That'll help you. I don't know what it is. I've tried everything, and I'm still, I know you are. You hadn't tried everything. You've tried everything wrong. Why don't you try God? Why don't you get back where you were when you were a little boy and shake in fear when you hear the word help? Why don't you get back where the point was where you knew you were guilty when you stole the cookies from your mama's cookie box? And you knew what guilt and shame were. You remember that? So ashamed that your mother caught you stealing. But that wore off because you grew up, didn't you? Now you steal from the company and the government, but the guilt's gone, so that's okay. Wouldn't it be easier to be forgiven? Wouldn't it be easier just to know the bill's paid? Wouldn't it be easier just to say, I found out that Jesus is God. Pam, little Pam back here, Bob's wife, ran into a lady out here from Cleveland, Ohio. Invited her to church, and she said, I've never been to church. An adult. She said, I went to a church one time for a wedding, and I went to a church one time with a friend, but I've never been to church. And I've heard on the radio that Jesus is God, and I believe that. And Pam said, that's good. Have you ever been saved? She said, I don't know what that is. And Pam's blunt as I am. She said, then you're going to hell. And the lady said, what? She said, you in hell, you don't get saved. She said, well, tell me about it. So Pam explained about it. Lord, she accepted the Lord right over there. They went and got her a cross and a card. Somebody went and got her a Bible. They got her a CD and gave it to her. Said, listen to this 27 times. Sent her back to Cleveland. She said, when I come back, I'm going to come to church down there. Just because somebody cared. But the stark reality hit her. There's got to be a God. That water didn't come in a bottle out there.
That's
right. Somebody put that ball of heat up in the sky. You don't have to be from MIT to figure out this wasn't done by Disney. And now somebody's talking to me about that God, and he loves me. And he'll forgive me of my sin. What a story. What a deal. And you sit there with your philosophy and thinking about the college professor who you didn't know was dumber than you were when you went. And you gonna call on him at the bar of justice to tell God where he was wrong? I don't think so. I don't think there's anybody to call, is there, when you're the last one standing before a just and holy God? And he said, didn't you read the letters I sent you? Well, no, I was real busy and all, you know. Yeah, I understand. Notice you didn't go to church much. Well, you know, Sunday's the only day I had off. Yeah, I understand. Aren't you glad I gave you six on? And you stand without excuse before the just one, the holy one, the Lord sovereign God of heaven, and look in his eyes and say, I guess I forgot. And he says, next. You mean I don't get a second chance? You're on it. Adam blew the first one. You mean even if I die, I don't know. If you die, you're dead and you're gone. It's over. This is not a rehearsal. This is a real thing. You miss understanding you a sinner lost and headed to hell without Christ. And hear the gospel from me or anybody else one time. That seals your doom forever if you don't change it. You are without issues. And you can give me all the philosophical renderings you want. And get into hypercriticism of the scriptures and all that, which is foolishness from the beginning. But it's not me you have to argue with. You have to stand before a holy, just, and righteous God and face your life and be able to give an account for your sins and payment for them. Or you're going to hear him say, next. So we'll leave it up to you. Much as I love you, I won't go to hell with you. Much as I love some of my friends I see down here from 50 years ago. Just want to gather them up and say, please listen. Please listen. I'll have to wave them goodbye because I'm not going with them. And some of you sit here today, folks I love, knowing y'all in life. You know more about me than I wish you did. I know more about you than you wish I did. And you still sit there and refuse to accept Christ as Savior. You have forgotten about God. So I thought I'd come remind you today, still love you. He loves you more. But I thought I'd just come by and remind you. Don't forget God. Because he hadn't forgotten you. As a matter of fact, when he was dying, he was you. He was thinking about him. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come with the good news, not hateful. Not trying to scare anybody, but a man who's headed for hell and isn't scared is a little off of it anyway. But we come and read the good news where a good God put man in a perfect situation. No intention of anyone ever dying. No intention of any war. No intention of any harm, of any disease of any kind. No intention that blood would ever be shed for any reason. Only to find out that later, because of sin, he would have to shed his own. And Lord Jesus, if there's someone here who doesn't know you personally, who thinks all hope is gone, that they've gone too long, don't let Satan get to them. Don't let them believe that lie that it's too late, that I've done too much, that surely I couldn't be forgiven. Yes, you can. The blood of Jesus Christ can either forgive all sin for all time or no sin for no time. There's no middle ground. All you have to do is call on him. All you got to do is fess up, as we say, and all you got to do is go back to the cookie jar and feel that guilt. And say, just one, holy one, I've sinned against you. I'm truly sorry. I repent. I want to walk in a new direction. Would you help me? Would you forgive my sin? Would you be my Savior? Would you let me be part of the family of God? And I promise you, he will reach from eternity and put his arms around you and claim you as a child of his, which none, the Bible says, can take out of his hand ever. If you're happy going the way you're going, then I guess you'll just have to go ahead. But I promise if you are seeking real happiness and joy, you won't find it until you find a man named Jesus. And I pray today you'll accept him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. My friend Fred Collins, my wife Ann, Lewis, all the people here, that we just hadn't got any more sense than to be happy when we see one another, hug one another, because we love one another, because you taught us what love was, and we thank you for that. In Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen.